Trade PMR offers to support the growth that RIAs deserve. Whether you're looking to add an additional custodial services provider or make the switch to a new one, Trade PMR offers advisors access to dedicated team members. So when you need help, you know exactly who to call. Trade PMR, member of FINRA and SIPC. Welcome to the WealthStack podcast. I'm your host, Shannon Rosick, the director of WealthStack Content Solutions. In this episode, I'm joined by John Spires, Chief Information and Technology Officer at Buckingham Wealth Partners. And today's topic, how productivity solutions are resulting in real ROI for firms. And we'll also take a deep dive into his approach around evaluating technology and how firms can prepare for digital transformation. John, in all honesty, I've been looking forward to this conversation because I love picking the brains of CTOs. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Hi, Shannon. Thank you so much as well. I'm excited about this conversation today and really looking forward to it.
So before we dive into the first segment, I want to start with your background. And I always say that this is probably the hardest question you'll get in this conversation. So tell me, what makes John, well, John, and how you ultimately landed at Buckingham?
Sure. So I was born and raised here in St. Louis, Missouri. Interesting fact of the office I'm standing in right now is about 5 minutes from where I went to college here. And right across the street from my first job when I graduated from college. But when I started my career, I guess, or thinking about my career, I intended to focus on computer science and engineering, a background that many people probably think of for CTOs and others. But I decided instead to focus on business, and actually finance is what I got my major in, thinking I'd end up on Wall Street someday eventually. But had a deep passion for technology, which kept pulling me back into the space. And with that, I ended up spending about 15 years doing technology consulting for a company here in St. Louis, and eventually led their office here in St. Louis for them. In about 2015, I started conversations with Buckingham, and it was just an interesting idea to come help what I'll call a young financial services company begin to grow and mature in the technology space. And so I came in to help lead engineering and development teams. And over my time here, I've kind of broadened that scope to all of technology, which I still manage and oversee. But I also spent time leading operations and client service teams, our real estate group, marketing for a little while, almost everything inside the organization, non-advisor facing, if you will. And eventually became CITO in January of 2020. And one of the first big challenges, if that date is stuck in everyone's head, right, is first big thing was lead the firm through COVID from a technology standpoint. So that was a fun challenge for me to get going. But that's kind of where I grew up, what I started my career with, and what I'm doing right now.
So I'm going to assume you went to WashU then.
You are correct. Yes.
Beautiful campus. I actually looked at WashU as well and very familiar with the St. Louis area. It has so much to offer, and especially the food scene, but we'll dive into that later. You said something interesting, and this is the first time I've heard it called a CITO. And as we know, you know, the role of the CTO is constantly evolving. There's proof of it right there. And, you know, I think the industry is finally realizing that particular position is really just a critical and strategic connector between teams, tech, and clients, especially as you mentioned in this hybrid world, especially post-COVID. So how do you ultimately strike that balance or even prioritize which initiatives matter within Buckingham?
Well, I think the easy answer would be if I could just throw a dart every day and and pick out what projects showed up. But, you know, the challenge of that is trying to see where to spend the resources, right? If we had unlimited budgets, unlimited bandwidth, it'd be really easy to go after the projects that everyone is interested in. But when you look at the financial services space, the fintech space, things are changing so quick out there. And so, you know, when we look at some of these things, there's really four kind of main questions that I ask and that we go through as an organization. You know, what's the cost? Is it in people, in dollars? You know, how do those things add up, and what are we looking at? What's the impact of this and who does it impact? Is it advisors? Is it our clients? Is it our associates? Is it all of the above? You know, what's that mix look like? And how does that move the business forward? You know, is it helping us achieve some of those strategic objectives we have of growth and expansion and things like that? One of the other really big ones that we have to answer a lot around here is what are we giving up to pursue that initiative? You know, there are plenty of things that I could do. I have a famous whiteboard here in the office that is full of all of the requests and all of the projects that we want to accomplish in a year. And it's always looking at that and saying, what comes off of this board if this new initiative goes up on that board at this point in time?
Well, I always love hearing tech experts using whiteboards still to plan out initiatives, but it is incredibly effective. And just so our audience knows, can you just give a brief history of Buckingham, you know, who you ultimately serve and, you know, hit all the main talking points?
Sure. So we were founded in 1994, so quickly approaching here this year our 30th anniversary. It's a little strange for me to say that because I think we still look at ourselves as a young kind of up and coming firm in the space. But we have two primary business lines here at Buckingham, one of those being Buckingham Strategic Wealth, and that's our RIA that we have where we serve end investor clients. We have about 56 locations that are Buckingham Strategic Wealth across the United States, and about $30 billion in AUM on the Buckingham side. We're fee-only fiduciaries on that side and looking to help our clients meet their life and wealth goals.
Appreciate that background context.
The other side is what we call Buckingham Strategic Partners or BSP on our side. You can think of that as kind of the traditional TAMP, where we serve 1,000+ advisors in RIAs across the country, about $40 billion in AUM on that side, where we partner with those firms to help with traditional back office, you know, research, transactional, operational processes, and those kind of things. But the other piece where we think of ourselves on that side a little bit more than a TAMP is our focus on creating a better experience for all of those financial advisors and their clients and helping those financial advisors really grow their business, right? So we are not just the operational aspects of a TAMP, but really focused on helping those advisors grow.
Absolutely. And that is a great segue into our first segment that I affectionately call Stats All Folks. And in this ever-growing list of responsibilities that CTOs now face, determining which technology solutions offer the best ROI, I'm sure, is high on your list. And in fact, according to our 2023 WealthStack study, only 37% of respondents said that they were very satisfied with their tech ROI. So, what tools are you seeing right now that are rising to the top, you know, outside of the obvious of financial planning and portfolio management, if you will?
Sure. I think, you know, when I look at that and say, what's up and coming for some firms? What are we continuously looking at on our side as well? One of the big ones is CRMs, and I think it's more than a CRM, right? I continue to have those conversations that a true CRM is more the heartbeat and the operational engine of an organization, not just a glorified Rolodex for some of us. The other part is data platforms and data usage. It's no mystery or anything like that data is becoming the key to making business decisions, to personalizing client experiences, all of those kind of things. So finding effective and easy to use ways of working with that data are really, really important for us. You've got to throw AI into that mix, though I think it's still a little bit early, especially for some of us here in the financial services space. But it's top on our list. It's something I'm actively working on and we're watching. And the other one I would say is productivity tools and applications. And that's a broad bucket, but there are a lot of just applications that can come in and really help, you know, again, back to is it advisors, is it clients, is it our associates, and help their day-to-day processes and interactions be smoother, be better, be quicker as we go forward. And I think those, in my mind, are four of the big buckets of how we look at tools and what tools are out there right now.
So what's ultimately driving your decision making when it comes to new technology solutions? And at Buckingham, how do you strategically evaluate productivities for operational efficiency in a competitive financial market? There's so many solutions out there now. How do you dive in and understand what works best for your firm?
Yeah, I'll go back a little bit to what I mentioned earlier. We start with some of those main questions, right? Who does it impact and what is that impact? What's that cost? What's the time to implement is a big one, right? I think, I really productivity tools and what they bring to the organization are some of the best ones I think to look at because those typically don't have massive drawn-out implementation projects to go along with them. They're really easy to get into end user hands, and you can begin to get that grassroots kind of ownership and championship across the organization to spread adoption. Now, I gave those kind of three or four big areas. I think another big one inside there is that it has to be secure, right? We always have to look at those from a security standpoint and say, what do they do? Good example of one of those on our side was Calendly as we implemented that. It began with just a handful of our advisors that were interested in adopting the tools. They said, hey, this can make interacting with our clients a little bit easier for us. We are now up to over 300 users on the Calendly
Oh,
platform
wow.
and adding more each week as time goes along. Last year, we scheduled over 9,000 events using the Calendly platform. And if we, you talk about ROI and time savings and those kind of things, if we look at some of the saving calculations of eliminating that back and forth, it's estimated around 2,000 hours is what we've saved in just scheduling those meetings alone. And so those small tools that can get into those end users' hands can really add up to big benefits for the organization as you go forward.
I love Calendly and think I think about all those emails and all those times you have to go back and forth with folks just trying to coordinate schedules. And that adds up over the course of a year, right? Just taking those small, even if it's few seconds, few minutes away from folks, that makes a difference. So that's an incredible use case and really case study around, like you said, kind of those smaller productivity tools making a direct impact at your firm. And so just to go a little bit deeper, when you're doing vendor due diligence, what questions are you asking? Coming from that CITO perspective, outside of implementation, where do you really dig in with folks to know that you're making the right choice ultimately?
Yeah, I think a first area for us that we really dive into is I mentioned the security aspect, right? We need to make sure that client information is protected, that firm information is protected. Those kind of things are big ones for us to hit on. You deep dive into SOC 2s and all of the documentation and those kind of pieces. The other thing that we then look at next is where are opportunities to integrate that platform? Some may be standalone. There may be no need to do deeper integrations for those things or anything along those lines. But if we can find ways to build those tools into other tools we have or other platforms we have, that's a huge help for us. Again, go back to that Calendly use case of, hey, it started as standalone, right? I think we've all received those links from someone in an email that's just, here's my Calendly. Go ahead and pick a time and schedule a meeting for me. It's now built into the email signature for many of our advisors, right? It's there. It's easy for clients to get to. It's built into our website with generating leads and prospects and allowing them to quickly schedule time to meet with someone inside the Buckingham organization and learn a little bit more about us. That information feeds down to Salesforce, right? So you've taken that one tool that's saving a lot of time on the front end, but you're kind of stretching it throughout the operational systems of the organization to get data flowing and to speed up processes and make things a little bit more efficient as you go.
On behalf of wealthmanagement.com, we invite you to join us on May 13th through 16th at Hollywood, Florida for WealthStack, part of Wealth Management Edge. Our agenda is designed to power a new generation of growth-oriented advisors with the latest innovations and trends in technology strategies. From captivating keynote speakers to interactive workshops, dedicated think tanks, a dynamic exhibit hall, and hands-on demonstrations of cutting-edge technologies, you'll leave with a deep understanding of how to accelerate growth at your practice. Use promo code PODCAST20 to save 20% off your registration. Visit wealthmanagementedge-event.com for more information.
And in a similar vein around productivity, our WealthStack study also uncovered that the top three business objectives for firms in 2024 were adding more clients, deepening relationships with existing clients, and improving the client experience. So no easy lift there, but you know, the challenge that firms are facing is really differentiating that client experience. It goes beyond just saying, hey, we're better at this. And that can obviously take a lot of work. So, you know, I would make the argument, couldn't automation help here? What's the opportunity for advisors knowing that those are their objectives for this year?
Yeah, I definitely think one, those responses match everything I would say if you asked me that question, right? Where are you trying to focus? What are some of those big objectives for a firm? And I do think automation comes into play there, right? You look at how do you make some of those experiences easier for clients? You want to make it as frictionless as possible for a client to go forward. Again, let's flip back to what we've been using here in that Calendly kind of case study a little bit, but allowing clients or prospects especially to quickly make that meeting happen and not have that back and forth that you talked about earlier, right? It speeds up that process. It gives them a good experience coming in. When you look at trying to deepen that relationship between existing clients and their advisor, right? A client wants to interact with their advisor on their own terms. They don't just want to reach out, have to deal with an assistant or go through any things. And so again, that's where something like the automation aspects, some of the Salesforce integrations between Calendly and our advisors and clients really come into play there. I think another new technology, and I'll say new in kind of quotes on this side, that we're seeing get into that space as well and less on the automation front is the idea of texting between advisors and clients, right? And we know that brings its own set of challenges for firms to deal with, but it's all about how do you meet those clients where they are, right? How do you give them those experiences that they're used to outside of our industry and really begin to help pull them along and pull yourselves along really, because clients are kind of driving us to what's coming next.
Oh, absolutely. Everyone's looking for that Amazon or Netflix curated experience, if you will. So that leads me to ask you then, you know, how can evolving digital experiences for clients and advisors help firms deliver stronger wealth solutions? We're obviously scratching the surface with things around AI. You mentioned texting, but at the end of the day, it all comes down to the delivery of advice and how their advisors ultimately work with their clients.
It does. And I think, you know, one of the things that's probably not a secret to many in this industry is that the adoption rates of client portals, you know, what we think about when we think of digital experience right now are not good. You know, they've lagged for years right now. And I think part of that, and Buckingham thinks that part of that, is that it doesn't really match the client experience of the firm. Right? You have a digital experience, but that's often very separated from your client experience. If you say that the experience of your firm is talking to clients about financial planning and their financial wellness and their life and those kind of things, but you give them a digital experience of going to a portal that the first thing they see is a giant view of their balance and what's changed over the course of the last day or week or those kind of things, begins to drive a wedge between what's the experience you as a firm give to clients in the physical world or the traditional world, if you will, versus what you give them in the digital world. And so as we look at all of these different tools out there, which is one of the big things that we have on our radar this year and that we're actively working on, is that idea of digital transformation and digital experience. It's taking a step away from some of those kind of standard client portals that exist out there and saying, how do we create an experience that truly brings the physical, the traditional way that we work with our clients, the conversations that we want to have with them into, you know, the modern digital world that takes advantage of tools, you know, like AI, like all of the data we have available, all of the different integrations that are out there. And that's what we're trying to bring together because we feel like that's kind of the next step in delivering a good digital experience and giving our advisors that toolkit to be more efficient, to really put themselves and focus on the skill set of the advisor, which isn't rebalancing portfolios or scheduling meetings or stapling paperwork together. It's having those conversations with a client. And that's where the big piece, I think, comes in and really begins to move firms forward in that next iteration of digital experiences and client experiences.
Now, and that's a great point that you make, that it's the two experiences are still it's equal but separate, and like you said, it all needs to come together and just be a consistent experience across the board. And so you started talking about it, but I want to dig in a little bit more to, you know, what's on the roadmap for Buckingham. You know, what are your priorities? I know you have your giant whiteboard, but you know, what's ultimately driving the decision making? Is it what advisors want? What are the advisors at Buckingham asking for? Is it how does that all come about? And again, how do you prioritize all of it?
Yeah, I think it's a mix. And so, you know, what drives that forward? What our clients need and what we want to give to our clients is priority one, right? We want to take care of them. We want to cater to what they are looking for. And so that digital transformation and experience are one of the big things that's out there for us. Priority two and, you know, others that are in that list are we need to scale our business. You know, I mentioned we're approaching our 30 years right now. And so we are turning from, you know, that smaller organization and firm, which we still want to have that feeling for our clients, but operating like an enterprise. And so things like those data platforms I mentioned earlier, data usage, making data-driven decisions, as it comes to running our business are huge ones as we go as well. And then I talked about security a little bit. That's a big one for us in the coming AI kind of revolution, if you will, and how that becomes kind of materializes itself, I guess I would say, inside the organization, both for associates and for our clients. So those are some of the big kind of bucket priorities that exist out there. But again, you know, back to you asked about how do we prioritize those? How do we do those things? As I've kind of mentioned there, it's client first. Advisors drive a lot of that. You know, they provide us that feedback. We take a lot of feedback from our clients as to how their relationship with their advisors is going, tools that they're looking for, different types of experiences. And we try to layer that in there. And so it's client, advisor, and business really is kind of those foundational underpinnings of what help us prioritize some of those projects.
Well, thank you for giving us an under the hood look of what's happening at Buckingham. But it's actually time for segment two of this episode, John, which I call Ask Us Anything. And so I've gone out to the social universe and asked them to submit questions they want answered by you. And we did have a few folks slide into the DMs this week. So I am putting you in the hot seat. So, first question we got was, as AI becomes more popular, how is Buckingham approaching cybersecurity? AI is so sophisticated now that it can mimic the voice of clients. So, are there solutions out there to mitigate that? How are you staying ahead of cybersecurity concerns?
Yeah, that is a very big topic. It's actually one that we just spent a little time. We have an incident response team internally here at Buckingham, and we just met about a week ago, and we spent time in that conversation talking about this exact thing. You know, you look at some of the news that's been out there recently of there was a firm, and I'm sure many people have seen it, where someone in the finance department was spoofed by a AI generated video and voice video call. And they transferred $25 million to a scammer's account, thinking they were talking to the executives of their firm. And it was really a scammer on the other side, right? So that's where that voice and video piece is coming into play. I spent time last week actually just to prove the power of this and the ease of this to our internal teams. And within 5 minutes, of work using just my cell phone, I was able to create an account, upload a sample of my voice, and clone my voice to any text that I threw through that platform. And it wasn't perfect, but I could fool a whole lot of people with what's going on there. And so, when you think of things like that, or you think of traditional phishing emails, right? The way we used to train associates to look and spot a phishing email was to look for poor grammar. But when you have AI and generative AI that's available, there's really no excuse for poor grammar and phishing emails anymore as you go. Or, we mentioned texting a little bit earlier, but you think of some of the smishing campaigns that are out there, and them trying to use text messages to do that. And no longer is it that bot that you're talking to that's going to respond with the same next sentence, no matter what you throw in there, but be able to actually have a conversation and respond to, any message you would put into that text. And so it's a challenge. It's actually one of the things that, the frequent question is, what keeps you up at night? And I think it's these kind of things, right? This is the next big cybersecurity risk for all of us. It's not funny, but I joke, a lot with people here that we're going to go back to branches and face-to-face transactions, because that's where people are going
It's
to feel
cyclical.
safe a little bit, right? That's the way that people will trust who they're talking to. I think if you look out in the future, there's ways that we will probably be able to solve this. You look at things like blockchain or universal IDs or the Earth ID platform that exists out there. All of those different things are there to help combat some of these pieces, but they are years away. So now, but between now and then, I don't have the perfect answer to that. It's one of those, as I talk about security here within the firm, it's one of those pieces that's kind of tops on that security list of how do you deal with these things. I'll tell you, a less sophisticated way that and advice that we're giving to some of our clients as you think about some of this voice cloning and those kind of things is the idea of establishing a family safe word or passphrase, right? So you hear about those scams where somebody's called in and called a grandparent and said it's their grandchild and they're in the hospital or in jail and need money and those kind of things. With voice cloning and pieces like that, it's so easy to make those types of calls and to, trick people into believing. And so we've started talking to clients about that idea of the family safe word and not doing anything or taking any action unless somebody's able to give you what that is. Again, it's not high tech. We've gone through those passphrase things with clients in the past when they call into the organization. But it's one of those things that as we continue to kind of fight this battle against what's coming on the AI front, we've got to take all of the steps that we can.
No, it's interesting you say that because I was recently on a panel with Joel Bruckenstein, and we obviously all know the T3 survey where cybersecurity adoption is still fairly low. I think it was only about 25% of firms are actively engaging with cybersecurity technology. And it was funny because an advisor came up to us after our panel and similar to your point, said, what can we do? We have multi-factor authentication, we have all these protocols. And I thought Joel's answer was so interesting because he said the same thing. In your CRM, make sure that the clients have, like you said, a safe word or some type of terminology that only they know, and they have to give that. So simple but effective, that it seems to be the course that folks need to go is obviously only have information that is privy to that particular client and be able to offer that because things are so sophisticated now that that's really the options that are available. So while it does add another layer of complexity and something else that clients and advisors have to worry about, that makes sense to me because I would want my advisor and my firm to ask me those questions up front before I start, moving money around or making requests. But it's certainly a space that there needs to be just more adoption around it. And so it's certainly encouraging that to hear that, Buckingham has it top of mind.
Yeah, and you bring up a great point there, right? Sometimes, and maybe odd for a technology person to say, sometimes solving these problems aren't technology based. A simple passphrase, those kind of things, are good good first steps to getting and stopping some of these things. And you're absolutely right. It's a little bit more for a client to deal with, but clients seemingly appreciate that step, right? They get why you're doing it, and more are willing to go through an extra step or two to ensure that their information's safe, especially when you're in this space and in financial services and dealing with, so many things that are so critical to a client's life at this point.
Absolutely. So we did have one more question in this section. So pivoting topics a little bit, but it is top of mind for a lot of folks right now. And the question was, with the recent news around the SEC approving ETFs that invest in Bitcoin, what is Buckingham's stance on crypto?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Loaded.
And it's definitely interesting as well. And I think, one of the things that does is it legitimizes crypto, or at least Bitcoin, a little bit more for folks. I think for a long time it was out there, and there was always a question of, is this real, or what is it? And so I think that move does take a step to legitimize it a little bit more. We've seen an uptick from clients asking about it and what it means for their portfolios, and should they invest in those kind of things. Our head of investment research recently put out a short video on it after the approval. And I'd summarize what he said by saying it still hasn't really changed how we at Buckingham look at crypto. It hasn't reached kind of true form of currency yet. Yeah, it's legitimized a little bit more, but it's not that true currency. And so we're not at a point where we're believing it's something that every client needs to have in their portfolio. Having said it, there's definitely clients who want some exposure to it, right? Have interest in it, those kind of things. And so, with the new ETFs, it allows them that access to dip into that market a little bit. And our stance on it is make sure for our advisors that if their clients are asking about it, that they really do have that conversation. They talk to them about the risks, they evaluate it in the overall financial plan, all of those kind of things, before they make any moves into that space.
Sure. Well, I appreciate you being put on the spot and your insightful answers here. But we have come to our final and probably my favorite segment that I call Stack It or Whack It. So I'm going to throw out a few technologies, or just sometimes they're just random ideas that I have, and they're not necessarily well tech related. So be prepared. And you tell me if they are worth the hype, essentially stack it, use it or love it, or whack it, lose it or dislike it. So, first question I have for you, obviously being from St. Louis, I am going to make the very bold assumption that you are a Cardinals fan. We are actually Cardinals fans in this household as well, because my husband lived in St. Louis for over a decade. So I have to ask, especially with the last couple of years with how they've gone, stack or whack their upcoming season.
Well, I thought for sure when you said St. Louis and brought that up, you were going to ask me about St. Louis pizza or toasted ravioli
Not going to ask
or
about
one of those
emos.
kind of things. So I would stack both of those for the record. I will not turn either one of those things down as we go. As far as the Cardinals go, yes, big Cardinal fan, but unfortunately, I'm going to have to whack it for this season for the Cardinals. They were terrible last year. And I don't think they've done much this offseason to really improve their chances. So I think they're hoping for failure from others in the division to get their success this year.
Oh, that's a tough strategy. We just need to get Yachty managing the team at this point, right?
I will agree with that. If you can make that happen, then I'll change my answer.
There we go. All right. So when that does happen, we'll record a whole episode on that. All right. Fair enough. And I'd have to agree with you there. So, second question I have for you, a little more industry related. Again, another major headline, interest rates this year. Stack if they're going back up, or whack if you think they're going back down, or a little bit of both.
Well, you're hitting me with all of these interesting ones today. The crypto ETFs and interest rates definitely get me outside of my wheelhouse on this one. So I'll personally say whack it, just from hopes on my side. But that said, again, similar to the crypto piece, I leave all of that up to, our investment teams on this side. And default to them when it comes to any true advice or thoughts on that piece. just like I would hope they do the same if they start to talk about technology tools or AI or any of those kind of things.
Sure. Well, John, I appreciate you playing along with me and indulging me in some of my ridiculous questions, but it has honestly just been an absolute pleasure getting to know you and learning more about Buckingham. So please feel free to tell listeners where they can find out more about you and what you're working on at Buckingham Wealth Partners.
Well, thank you very much, Shannon. It's been great talking with you today and really appreciate it. Listeners can learn more about Buckingham Wealth Partners at our website, buckinghamwealthpartners.com, and also on LinkedIn and Facebook. They can also connect with me and follow anything that I'm sharing on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/in/JohnSpires.
Sounds good. And be sure to like and subscribe to the WealthStack podcast on all major podcasting platforms and follow all things WealthStack on wealthmanagement.com, LinkedIn, and Twitter or X, if I still haven't been able to call it that yet. But if you do want the in-person WealthStack experience, join me May 13th through 16th at the Diplomat in Hollywood, Florida for Wealth Management Edge. And thank you all for tuning in. Trade PMR offers to support the growth that RIAs deserve. Whether you're looking to add an additional custodial services provider or make the switch to a new one, Trade PMR offers advisors access to dedicated team members. So when you need help, you know exactly who to call. Trade PMR, member of FINRA and SIPC.